Hello and welcome to the Undercut Podcast. I'm your host, Timo Abbas Daly, and we are back to discuss and review the first two rounds of the 2025 Formula 3 season. Joining me to do this is friend of the podcast, Inside F2 host and Formula 3 fanatic, Mr. Fraser Ford. How are you doing?
Formula 3 fanatic Fraser Ford. That rolls off the tongue, doesn't it, Timo? Good job there. I'm good, thank you, my friend. How are you? Thank you very much for having me.
Our pleasure. I'm doing all right, thank you. And I was going to say, we've got some talking points for Formula 3, because we've only had a couple of rounds, but a lot's been happening, as is the Formula 3 way. But potentially controversial question to kick things off. Is Formula 3 the best action we've had out of all the Formula so far this year?
Oh, that is a big question. I'm slightly biased on the F2 front, obviously. But no, listen, the Formula 3 has been brilliant this year, hasn't it? I know we've only had two rounds so far, but the action that we've seen in both Australia and Bahrain, unbelievable, as we expected, as we come to expect with Formula 3, a brilliant series. I don't know what, I think it was lap two in Bahrain. I can't remember if it was the feature race or the sprint race when you have four wide going into turn one on lap two. It wasn't even the first lap, it was lap two, and there was just cars everywhere. And I just laughed to myself. I'm just like, you know what? That is the reason that I love Formula 3, is for carnage like that, that doesn't just last on lap one like we perhaps see in other series. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It actually, you know, it doesn't matter what lap you're on. You know, randomly, you know, lap 10, for example, and you know, you're having a free wide moment going into turn six, for example. It's just crazy, isn't it? And it's the reason we love Formula 3. But no, listen, it's been a great start to the season, and I'm looking forward to talking about it in more detail with you, my friend.
I think that's what Formula 3 has that the other Formula don't in some respects. And it's not a disrespectful thing to them as such. I think once you get to Formula 2, you don't want to risk those kind of manoeuvres as much unless there's a certainty you can do it. And it's rare that you have multiple drivers thinking that at the same time. And F1, you just can't at most places because the cars are too damn big. So I think Formula 3, they all just, you have this blend of drivers that you may know, you may not. It doesn't really matter. They're all very hungry to prove themselves, and they know how much impact one good weekend can have, or even one good race, as we'll get to with a certain driver later. And there's more reward for the risk in some ways. So why not have it four wide at turn six in places that you're just like, you're not supposed to be able to do that there. I'm not sure how that's worked. And the amount of times I think we heard in commentary, the kind of gasps and surprises that they all made it through without actual carnage, because I think that's something we've also become a little bit used to in the feeder series, is that you will try these things, and because they are a bit lower down and they're still learning in a lot of ways, you will get those kind of accidents more. But I think that's been one of the impressive things as well, is that we've not had any massive messes yet. I mean, I know it's only two rounds, but still, I'm taking it while I can.
You wait till next round, Timo. No, it's
I've said it now, yeah.
Yeah, no, listen, it's been good racing, and I think I worried for Formula 3 a little bit when we saw Kimi Antonelli jump straight from Freca to Formula 2. We saw drivers like Joshua Dirksen do the same. Josh Mason the year before skipped test for F3 and jumped straight into F2. And I worried that we were seeing a bit of a theme, a bit of a pattern, you know, emerging, that drivers didn't trust Formula 3 because of how chaotic it is. And you don't necessarily see drivers' representative pace. So therefore, they're like, you know what, let's skip F3 and let's go straight to F2, where it's a little bit more representative and you don't have as much chaos. But you know, Formula 3, you know, it's been brilliant this year. I think we haven't seen any drivers jump. Well, we saw John Bennett actually jump straight from GB3 to Formula 2 this year, but that is slightly different circumstances. That's more budget than ability. But you know, Formula 3 is in a really good place, and I think it's been a great start to the season. And as you say, it's been reasonably well behaved. I say reasonably. There was a few incidents in that. Well, there's been incidents in every race, but Australia, there was definitely a few incidents, weren't there? But listen, that's what we love as fans, isn't it? The unpredictability and the chaos. So yeah, which I'm sure we're going to get into.
Yeah, it was one of the things that I remember. I think you and I talked about, and I'll talk about it with a couple of other people. It's the one rollback of Formula 3 in a way. If you are that young driver coming up, with if you qualify somewhere down below 20th, for example, you can make up 10, 15 places and no one will notice as much as they should if you're just kind of, if you're more of a general fan, you and I will notice because we kind of live and breathe it. But people, annoyingly, with the purse strings don't necessarily notice that much, or they just see, oh, you're still only P12 or something. You're Do you see that I started in P27 though? That's the one time I'll bring a highlight on the fact that I started that far back, but just look how far I got. And it's that frustrating element to it. But I think that's one of the reasons as well that I enjoy Liam Lawson in F1 at the moment so much. While it's not been going his way a lot of the time, I like the scrappiness of him. It's very Formula 3. It's very, I'm trying to prove a point. I need to do something to keep attention on myself, and I don't mind being the villain of people's stories so much as long as I can get where I need to go and try and rebuild definitely after China. And no such thing as bad publicity. It's kind of, as long as you've got the attention on, you can get this, keep the sponsors happy. They don't mind a lot of the time where you finish as long as you do what you need to for them. And it's always interesting to see how that balances out. But again, it's why I always like looking down at these bottom kind of places to see, okay, but where did you start? Did you actually have a much better race than I think? And we'll kind of lean into that perfectly with four races so far, three different winners over two rounds. And while we talk about the winners in more detail, Rafael Kamara had kind of one of those performances in Bahrain. He had an absolutely abysmal start with it in the sprint race, I think. Started 12th, balls it up on the line pretty much, and then had to make his way back up through pretty much the entire field. Finished in P12, and you look at that as a result, and you go, oh, well, that was a boring race for him, wasn't it? And you go, no, it was the complete opposite.
Yeah, Rafael Kamara has been so impressive, hasn't he? Particularly as a rookie stepping into the series. I definitely at the start of the season, Timo, I had a few drivers written down as title candidates, if you like. And
I'm hoping
I'll be
yours are going
honest.
better than mine.
Well, yeah, majority of them were returning drivers. I had Stenshaw and I had Tramnitz. I had could Solov contend? Could Voisin contend? And then I had the rookies. Kamara, Tappanen, for example. I actually had James Wharton down, but we'll get into him a little bit later as well. But those drivers who had more experience. I thought it was a season four experience this season, but Kamara has come out the box unbelievably. He's been pole winner of the feature race and then fastest lap on both races. He had a 6 second lead before the safety car came out in Melbourne. He would have won that by a big margin in Formula 3 terms. He then had the same lead in Bahrain, 6 seconds, and what an unbelievable start to the season. He obviously he's done the post-season test at the end of last year and the pre-season test this year, but doesn't have a massive amount of experience on the Pirelli rubber, the tyres for this year in Formula 3. And he hasn't looked like a rookie at any point this season, I don't think. He's got his mistakes over and done with in the sprint race, importantly, as you've said, a bit of contacts in Melbourne and then a stall on the start in Bahrain. But listen, you'd rather make the mistakes in the sprint race rather than a feature race, wouldn't you? The feature race is where the big points are dished out. He's done the job on Friday in qualifying, and then he's done the job on a Sunday, and he's looked superb so far. And I don't know what you think, Timo. Is it too early to be talking about the title after just two rounds?
Want to say yes, but at the same time, you'd be hard pressed not to have him as a favorite for it. But I might leave that more to you than to me because I think we know what kind of luck I give drivers, and I don't think we want to do that to Mr. Kamara. But like you say, when you'd rather make the mistake, sorry, in the sprint races, and you look at the result, the feature races, he doesn't just win; he gets pole and he gets fastest. He gets the maximum out of the big point playing positions, and I'm not saying I'd like him to do this for the rest of the season, but I'd be interested to see what a season would look like if you just did that at every feature race and then didn't score anything in the sprint races, just to see where you'd end up. Because as a rookie, doesn't matter as much, because you could just come back next year and learn from the mistakes there and go, I don't know how I didn't score any points in any sprint races all season, but we'll try and fix that for next year. Whereas other
Exactly.
drivers further down the order, they're kind of running out of excuses as such because they've all got at least one season under their belt for the majority of them. So it's a curious dynamic there. It's kind of like absolutely mess up the Saturday, dominate on the Sunday, mess up on Saturday, dominate on the Sunday. And you go, I thought Bortoleto's and Fornaroni's strategies were interesting in how to win a championship. I'm not sure if this is in the same ilk, or I don't know if this is a genius move or if this is idiotic just yet, but I'm excited to see where it goes.
Listen, Timo, you know as well as me just how competitive these drivers are, and I don't think for one moment any of them will be looking to give up any points in any of the sprint races. So yeah, it's good.
An
Listen, it's
unintended strategy, perhaps.
yeah, exactly that unintended strategy. Camera is with a great team with Trident as well. I think it's worth mentioning that it's a team that know how to win titles. Obviously, as you said, Gabriel Bortoleto is a prime example of that, and a team that knows how to send drivers indirectly to Formula One. Bortoleto, again, another example. Jack Doohan obviously drove with Trident in Formula 3, who is now in Formula 1. So they're a team that have had great drivers over the years. They've looked brilliant over the last couple of years. Obviously, it's traditionally always been Trident and Prema at the front. I'm sure we're going to talk about Prema and the disappointing start to the season they've had shortly. But Trident at the class of the fields the last 2 3 years, don't they, in Formula 3? And it's been the same at the start of this season. Camera looking strong, Trident absolutely looking strong. I was just looking at the championship standings. Trident 93 points after 2 rounds, and MP Motorsport are their closest contender on 42 points. That is outrageous, isn't it?
There should be something said about driving for a team all Trident, three-pronged approach in Formula 3. Something about that just works for them, I think.
Exactly that. No, it's been a great start to the season for Trident, and I don't see that slowing down. I think they're going to continue to be the class of the field, and I think Camara is I'm not going to talk about the title, but he's looking good, isn't he?
Early days, but yeah, it's looking good. Well, you say it's too early, but I think we're about a fifth of the way through the season already. So as weird as that is, kind of somewhat accurate to say. Another word though on the other two race winners that we've had so far this season, we had Santiago Ramos winning the sprint race in Melbourne, and then obviously we had Nicolas Olof winning the sprint race in Bahrain. Two very different seasons for both of them. It was kind of curious trying to find out where Ramos was when I was going back and recapping the season so far and going, oh, that's that random driver down in P11 who started perfectly and then it's tapered off a little bit since then. And Solov, both expected and unexpected in some ways. I don't really know what to do with him just yet as a driver. He's obviously quite experienced now in Formula 3. The race win shouldn't be too surprising. We can talk a little bit more about how that win came about in a second because there's another driver that I know that you, well, we both really want to talk about. But consistent point finishes for him, less so for Ramos. I'll be interested to see how those two develop over the course of the season. You'd say out of the two of them, if we are going to talk about the title, that Solov should be making a charge for it at the very least, because otherwise his time in the feeder series is running out, maybe.
Yeah, Ramos is a driver that I should have mentioned when I was speaking about title contenders and returning drivers, because I did think that Santiago Ramos would have a much better season this season. Obviously, last year was his rookie year, and obviously this season with VAR returning driver, I thought he was going to do a good job. He was linked with a Formula 2 seat at one point as well for this year, so I wasn't sure whether he was going to be in Formula 2 or Formula 3, but he'll definitely be a driver who I think will be aiming for the title this year. And he kicks that off, didn't he, in the best way possible, winning the sprint race in Australia. And then since then, no points scored in the feature race in Melbourne, no points scored in the sprint race in Bahrain, and no points scored in the feature race in Bahrain. So I
When
think he'll
we
be.
say consistency is key in motorsport, this isn't what we mean.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, you don't want to be consistently out of the points, do you? Exactly. So yeah, I'm sure he'll be, no one's going to be more disappointed than he's going to be in himself. So I'm sure he'll be looking to recover that. His sprint race win in Melbourne, I thought was quite impressive, actually. He controlled the race well. I know obviously he came under pressure a little bit at the end of the race, but I thought I didn't think he was going to lose the lead, if I'm totally honest, before the safety car came out. So I thought he did well there. So I'm sure he'll recover. He'll bounce back, won't he, from a couple of difficult races. And Nicolas Solov, as I said at the top, definitely one of my favourites going into this season. Great way to kick off the year. Obviously, that battle, as I'm sure we're going to get onto with Freddie Slater. Important for some of these drivers to get a win on the board nice and early, isn't it? To ignite that title challenge. And I thought we had a really good weekend in Bahrain, actually. 10 points in the sprint race for the win, 10 points in the feature race for a P5. And yeah, I think Solov will regularly. By the way, 4 wins puts him joint most wins in Formula 3 history, which I couldn't quite believe that he had 4 wins, if I'm totally honest with you. But it's because he's been
I don't know
he's...
which baffled me more, to be honest. The fact that it was 4 wins, for some of the fact that the record was only 4 wins, it seemed kind of mad when you think about that in literally any other terms, actually.
Yeah, but there's about 6 or 7 drivers who have 4 wins, aren't there? So it's yeah, quite a club that. But
Well, if
yeah.
Camara keeps this up, he'll be equal one at the end of Monaco, and then he'll beat that by the time we get out of Spain. So, problem solved.
Yeah, exactly that. He obviously did very well in Fracca, didn't he? Winning races left, right, and centre. So maybe this year will be the same for him. But yeah, no, Solov, as you say, time is running out. He is this season. It's do or die this season. It's this season or nothing. If he's going to be in Formula 2 next season and make the jump up, he needs to be finishing in the top three of the championship to maintain a creditable reputation moving into Formula 2 next season, I think.
Then we come to a driver who, if this was a TV show, you'd have all the kind of staple cast that have been there for about 5 seasons, all very well established. And then this new bloke comes along and just makes everyone go, oh dear. Except they didn't say, oh dear. They said something much stronger that the FIA would then fine them for. And that is Freddie Slater. And you and I were talking about this a little bit before the season started. We weren't expecting him to necessarily come into F3 this early. We were just kind of talking about generalities of who to keep an eye on. And then he comes along and does what he does, quite frankly. And I think as a result, that sprint race in Bahrain is definitely in my top three F3 races since I started watching. And I struggle to remember which year it was, but you know which Budapest race I'm thinking of, where the changing conditions from wet to dry, and a couple of drivers there that switched at just the right time and made it look like Mario Kart. And then there's the finale in 2020 in Mugello, where it was Sargeant and Vettel and Piastri battling it out for the
That's true.
title. But
Yeah.
those three are the top three races for me. And Freddie Slater just coming out the gates and going, I'm here for 1 weekend. I have absolutely nothing to lose. And also, I'm quite good at this whole racing thing.
Yeah, listen, Freddie Slater, remember the name because it's a driver we've spoken about for a little while, Timo. I think he is already brilliant. He's going to be mega. He's going to be a superstar. 16 years old, stepping into Formula 3 for the first time. Obviously doing Fracca with Prema and GB3 this season as well. He's had a bit of an unconventional route up the ladder so far. Obviously, he's kind of jumped into series left, right, and centre, and jumping into Formula 3 was a surprise, but it wasn't a surprise. If you look at his career so far, you'd say, well, yeah, of course he's going to jump into a Formula 3 car at some point this year. He might even jump into a Formula 2 car at the back end of the year before going back down to do Formula 3
Must
next
say
year.
Abu Dhabi, we're looking at that, aren't we, in particular, aren't we?
Exactly that, yeah. But listen, it was great to see Freddie Slater in Formula 3 for a one-off weekend, or one-off as we think it's going to be at the moment. He was brilliant, wasn't he? He took the fight to some of the second-year drivers from the get-go. I mean, we're 3 laps into the sprint race, and he's taking the lead off of Stenshorn, and who's Stenshorn again, like an unbelievable driver, a driver who has a great junior record, has done well in Fracca. He steps into Formula 3 last year. I think he had a good rookie season. He's backed by McLaren. He's one of the drivers that I had down as one of the title favourites. I'd actually go as far as saying he was my title favourite at the start of the season. And Freddie Slater just flings one up the inside of him after 3 laps into his Formula 3 career. We're not talking about another rookie, for example. So I thought it was unbelievable from Freddie Slater. He looked he in no way looked out of his depth, did he? Didn't quite manage to get the win. I think Solov did have a very, very good race to take the win off of him.
Which he was definitely wiping his brow with, going, phew, I'm glad I've managed to pull that one off, because otherwise that would not have looked good for me at all.
Exactly that. Exactly that. It definitely says that about some of the returning drivers. Solov obviously got away with it. I think
Well,
he'd be
literally
very happy
everyone
with
else in
that.
the grid, quite frankly.
Yeah, and I think for his teammates, I don't want to be harsh on any drivers up and down the grid because they're all exceptional drivers to get to that level. But his two teammates, that's embarrassing for them. Stepping a driver, 16 years old, stepping into a Formula 3 car for the first time. Yes, he did the test, but even in testing, he was ahead of both of his teammates all the way through testing. So, I think they'll be looking at that thinking, oh, that doesn't make us look good. But at the same time, I do genuinely believe that Freddie Slater is a generational talent. We've had Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen, we've had Kimi Antonelli, and I would go as far as saying that Freddie Slater is the next generational talent to come through. There's not many drivers that, when we've spoken about this team, not many drivers that I look at in the Formula 3 field at the moment and think, yeah, they're destined for Formula 1. But Freddie Slater is absolutely one of those drivers. I think he'll walk Freca and potentially win GB3 this year as well, and then I'm excited to see what he does next. I think they're just waiting to see what kind of what opens up over the next couple of years, and I think all of that links to Formula One because they know that he's destined for Formula One. So
I couldn't agree more with all of that. I was watching his progress through the sprint race, and two things came to mind. It was, I think, something Piastri said back in Monza last year when questioned after the race about killing Lando so hard at the start and going, well, there aren't any team orders. There's nothing saying I can't do this, so why shouldn't I do this? And it just seemed that that was the same memo Freddie Slater got. And then just Verstappen's kind of masterclass in the rain of how easy it looked for him compared to everyone else is trying so carefully to not balls it up, and he's just there, just shimmying in and out of them and going, well, I'll just go and might do my own thing here. And he was doing exactly that.
His
And
sorry, Tim, his racecraft though was unbelievable, wasn't it? Like to
yeah.
it, the forward thinking, particularly in his battle with Solov, it was like, okay, cool, you can go past me there because I'm just going to duck back under and go past you,
He
get
was
back.
already thinking several steps ahead.
100%. Even on the run down to, I can't remember what is turn six, turn seven in Bahrain, the hairpin at the bottom of the hill. He's like, yeah, sure, you can go up the inside because I'm just going to go, I duck underneath. And you could see from such an early point, he's opening the steering wheel. He's, as Solov is, not even past him at the moment, just alongside, opening up the steering wheel to duck back underneath. He's that forward thinking and that racecraft is something that you can't teach some people.
No, and you reminded me there of just the battle we had in Saudi Arabia between Norris and Hamilton there the other day. It's just very much like you should weirdly know better. And okay, fair enough, it's Hamilton at least in the other seat, and it's not a rookie doing this to you, but you should be able to see what he's doing here. And there was none of that. And okay, he got past him, but it took way longer than anyone probably thought. And I think that's what was so frustrating, that he didn't get the win in the end, was because he'd managed to eke it out so far up to that point that you're going, oh, go on, this would be just box office stuff. But sadly, not the case. And then obviously the Sunday didn't go to plan, but nothing really his fault on that one. That was just an unfortunate mechanical DNF on his result there. But again, you could argue he only really started one race, and the one race he did start in, he almost won. He came in second, got the fastest lap, and in the cool down room, looked like the only driver who wasn't fazed by the heat in Bahrain, and that he could just go up and do that all again straight away. He didn't look remotely out of breath at all, and you just go, yeah, Fraser might be right on this one.
Yeah, listen, he's an incredible talent. He's got two younger brothers, by the way. So we could have the Slaters making their way through the ranks. I think his youngest brother is just starting karting. So yeah,
I'm glad there's a bit of a gap because I don't think we need all three at the same time. That'd be too much.
we've had the Schumacher brothers. It could be the Slater trio that we see in Formula One at some point. So, but no, in relation to Formula One, I don't know whether I'm jumping the gun, Timo, and this was going to be your next question, but. I think he's obviously not aligned with a Formula One team at the moment. He's not in a driver academy. I think that he obviously is good enough to be in a Formula One academy. And I think he's just waiting. I think the Slater team are just waiting to see what is the best way to Formula One. And they've got the they can't I'm sure any team on the grid would have seen Freddie Slater's talents, and so, and he has the pick of the bunch essentially, doesn't he? No team is going to say no
And the
to
advantage of time.
signing. Yeah, exactly that, and he's got time on his hands. So I think it's not that the reason he's an independent driver at the moment and not attached to a driver academy is not because there's a lack of interest. I think it's because they're waiting to see what the movements are over the next few years to align him, so that he's got a direct route into Formula One, because he is going to be in Formula One at some point. It's not a matter of
We should
if,
really
it's
put a bet on it now,
when.
really. It might take a while for it to pay off, but I think at the ultimate, like, yeah, it might be worth it.
100%, exactly that. So I think the Slater team are just waiting to see what the best route in is, and I think it'll be really interesting to see where he ends up, because whatever team end up getting Freddie Slater's services will be a very lucky team.
I think just to build off that as well, you've obviously got the new regs coming in next year for Formula One for 2026, and you can have a year or two to see how that all plays out, to see who kind of goes where, what the pecking order is. And then obviously by that point, you'll see how significant the changes Adrian Newey's been able to make to Aston Martin. You'll see what Audi maybe is capable of. Cadillac will be a little more established by that point, so you can have an idea there. But maybe if I don't go there straight away, once they get their own engines, maybe that'll be something to look into. And again, you've got 11 teams, the pick of the bunch there, and you can just very much just have a lot of open conversations to go, right, bid. Oh, and whoever's got the highest, I'll go there, instead of me having to choose between all of you and feeling under pressure, which, if you're a young driver coming up, that's kind of what you want to be in the position of.
Yeah, definitely. Totally agree.
Formula 3, this year we've had 11 drivers already on the podium out of a possible 12, with I think it's just Kamara ruining that statistic, is to be perfect. But yeah, that intense. It's just, is it just Formula 3 being Formula 3, or any of these championship contenders? We've talked about a couple of them already, but we've had Ramos, we've had Stenshorn, Belinsky, Kamara, obviously, Stromstad now, Slater, Deponen, Boysen, Sullivan, Tramnitz. Of the ones that we haven't touched on already, do you see any of them making it back on regularly? Any of them championship contenders for you, or any surprises for you were there already in terms of, or kind of, wasn't explained that, but happy to see them up there, because again, Formula 3 can definitely deliver on that from occasion to occasion.
Yeah, there's numerous drivers there that have impressed me. And by the way, I think the title it's way too early to be saying that some of these drivers aren't title contenders. So Tramnitz, obviously P2 in the standings, 30 points. He's 26 points behind Kamara. All it takes is for Kamara to have a bad weekend and Tramnitz to win the feature race and have a decent sprint race, and all of a sudden he could be top of the standings. So yeah, absolutely. I think Tramnitz is one to keep an eye on. As I said, Stenshorn is definitely one to keep an eye on. McLaren batch driver. Who I think I had as my favourite coming into the start of the season, sorry, coming into this season. And I think Stenshorn, I think there's more from him to come. Obviously, no points in the feature race in Bahrain, which I'm sure he'll want to make up for. Solov, we've covered. I think Solov will win more races this season. And that's outrageous that Nikita Solov could become the outright holder of the most wins in
It'd be
Formula
very
1.
Formula 3, wouldn't it?
It would, exactly that, exactly that. So, but yeah, Solov, I think is absolutely a title contender. I can't argue with that. Definitely not. And Voisin's the underdog for me. Voisin in the Rodin is a driver who, doesn't necessarily come with the most outrageous junior career. He did well in obviously to win the GB3 championship a couple of years ago. But that was against Alex Dunn and Joseph Loeb, two drivers who led the championship for a long time and great drivers themselves. But I think Voisin is probably the underdog in there. But he did well last season for Rodin, and it has to be said, by the way, Rodin perhaps an historically uncompetitive team in Formula 3, who are doing very well this year, fourth in the standings, and have three drivers who all look like they can win races. So yeah, Voisin definitely the underdog. And then Tappenham for me is someone who not a great start to the season in Melbourne, no points, but he looked very competitive in Bahrain. He's a driver who I rate. I think he's a driver that will almost it's a stop and go, if you like, in terms of Formula 3. I think he'll be off to Formula 2 at some point, if not next season, definitely the year after. Ferrari back driver. So Tappanen, I think, is another driver who, again, 20 points so far, absolutely can build on that. And so yeah, they're the drivers to watch for me. Not surprised any of them have been on the podium so far. And looking forward to see what else they can do.
I think Boysen and Deponen in particular, despite the differences in the background and how they came into Formula 3, are the kind of drivers that we do need in Formula 3 and potentially Formula 2 as well, purely for that reason. Because as much as we love seeing these generation talents like Freddie Slater come in and seeing drivers come in for a season or two doing what you kind of expect of them and not being too sporadic, but just being good. You need some of these underdogs to come in and show there is another way of going about it. You're kind of Felipe Drugovich in a way that you can make it to the top. And okay, in Drugovich's case, it's not quite worked in the way he's wanted to, but the fact that he's gotten to where he is in the first place is kind of testament to that method in itself and showing it is doable. You don't need to be absolutely tied to a team. You can be a bit independent for a while. You can kind of be underperforming for a little bit or not have the gold, 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 gold kind of pathway all the time. You don't need to skip formula and then be in there immediately and then burn out quickly and then you're gone and no one ever notices from you again. You don't need to do that. There is a better way potentially in there and kind of takes the pressure off a bit because I think if you're always in all or Toponen, like you say, with Toponen, he didn't have a great round at all in Australia, but comes back two top five finishes. One of them's a podium, and he's only one step away from it in the feature race, back in the game all of a sudden. And if he can just build up that consistency, as we've seen, he doesn't need to win the title then. It just is enough to show that he can build on it and learn from it. And I think everyone's so focused on finding the next Verstappen, and that's obviously hindered Red Bull massively, as we've seen over the last couple of years, that they're kind of snoozing or ugly ruining or damaging at least a lot of these who would otherwise be pretty good drivers. And you do need good drivers. You can't have Max Verstappen every 5 minutes. Otherwise, Max Verstappen will be Max Verstappen. So I think that's good that we've got these sort of drivers to show that there is this alternative pathway and that there is a potentially healthier way of going about things.
100%. It's something that I saw Bruno Michel talking about recently. With obviously he was questioned around Richard Vachon, and obviously it's his fourth season in Formula Two. It's the first time in history, by the way, that the Formula Two championship leader is older than the
Mad,
Formula
isn't
One
it?
championship leader. Yeah, which is quite crazy. Yeah, Richard Vachon, obviously a fourth year ret or a returning driver, fourth year in Formula Two. And Bruno Michel was saying it's great that some of these drivers, these generational talents or these really hot prospects, get to go up against someone like Richard Vachon, who's so experienced and so good in a Formula Two car. And we know, it's not Richard Vachon is a known quantity. He's not an unknown quantity. And that we don't really know how good he is. He's been across numerous teams in numerous categories. You'd like to think that Richard Vachon is a pretty good driver. And if you're beating Richard Vachon, then you've done well, right? And he was brilliant at the weekend, by the way. I know we're not talking about Formula Two and Jeddah,
It
but
took us longer than I thought it would.
Sorry, yeah, that's drink for me. No, but it just shows, some of these drivers, not only are they on their own journey. Zhou Guanyu, by the way, a driver who spent a few years at this level, for example, in what used to be the European Formula Three, a few years in Formula Two, and still made it to Formula One, and still had a good few years in Formula One. So just because you've not nec you know spent a few years in Formula Three doesn't necessarily mean to say that you're not a good driver and you don't have any chance of making it to Formula One. And the same with if you don't have a great year or couple of years in Formula Three, it doesn't mean to say that your career is over. Yuki Tsunoda, I remember, is a great example of someone who didn't have a great year in Formula Three, but he still made it to Formula One. And obviously you've used Felipe Drugovich as an example as well. There's plenty of examples of drivers who haven't necessarily shone in Formula Three, but have still gone and had really successful careers in Formula One or other series, by the way. Important not to say to say not just Formula One. There's plenty of
It's
other
not
modes.
Formula One, you're dead to us, we don't care.
Exactly that, exactly that. Yeah, but no, yeah. So I think you're right. It's great for some of these returning drivers, and yeah, oh, well, that's what Nicolas Sólov will be hoping for anyway. So.
Never say never, and I think that's the important thing with Formula 3. You genuinely can't ever say that. Are there any other drivers, as we were talking about earlier, we pay attention a lot of the time to the ones at the sharp end, but are there any other drivers that are worth mentioning that maybe I've forgotten about and you forgot about until you took a look through this and people listening have probably forgotten about either for a good or a less good reason.
Yeah, Belinsky. I thought we had a really good round in Melbourne and didn't quite get the points that I think he potentially could have done in Melbourne. I think his pace was stronger than the points he ended up taking home. Yeah, again, not a great weekend in Bahrain, but he'll bounce back from that. Charlie Wirtz as well, I think, is another driver who, obviously, in the Trident, the team or the team that are doing so well. Again, we've seen glimpses of him this year. of his pace, but ne not necessarily got the points to show for his pace so far this season. Prema, I think the Prema drivers will be so. I can't believe Prema have only got 2 points and they're bottom of the standings. That is unbelievable,
Even
isn't
I
it?
didn't predict that. That's not even on me.
No, exactly. So I think all three of those drivers are drivers that they will come good at some point this season. All three, I can see all three of them winning races, but it's just not come together for them at the moment. So they're ones to keep an eye out on, I think. But Timo, I want to know who's impressed you the most. Out of those drivers, who's your pick for the title?
So that's a cruel question, but I should have seen it coming, really. Because, like you
The
say,
reverse Uno card.
I know. I wish I had a spare one in my back pocket, but I just don't. It's tactical, because, like you say, you just need a couple of the drivers near the top to have a bad weekend, and a couple of the drivers further down the order to just absolutely nail it, and everything turns on its head again. I think I'm surprised that Marek Boyer is as far down as he is. I was expecting him to have a bit of a better start to the season. Only 1 point to finish is mad for me on that one. And I think,
His qualifying has let him down. P24 and P20 in qualifying. If you qualify like that, you're not giving yourself the great shot at doing well in the race. So again,
it
another
is kind of
driver.
you do all right considering, but where you're still expected to be if you're not coming in as a rookie, it then does hamper you a bit. I mean, 13th and 15th, it's close, but close obviously isn't good enough,
Exactly.
as we know. I think who's oh yeah, Christian Hodes kind of somewhat impressed me, because I was intrigued to see how he'd get along. He's got an interesting history there, and obviously the Euro Cup formula last year was that was interesting as well. Let's put that diplomatically, with how all that panned out, and it was quite amusing actually. I got the chance to ask him a couple of questions in one of the pre-season press conferences, I think, and it had just been confirmed a day or two before that he actually had won it, the championship. There's a whole controversy there, if you don't know. If people listening, go and read that. There's articles, plenty with plenty more detail. We don't. That's this whole separate podcast in itself. But I just said to him, does it kind of give you a bit of peace of mind now that it's all settled finally, and that you're champion, you can go in with a bit more confidence, a bit more vigor, and everything. And just the most kind of Kimi Räikkönen style answer of, I won that last year. I've known I've won that for ages. It's done. It's over. I don't need to think about that. There was, regardless of how that was going to get ruled one way or the other, he was just adamant that he'd won that. And I was going, okay, fair enough. Well, at least I'm clear on the answer. It's not been playing his mind at all. It's just very much done. So I'd be interested to see how that mentality helped propel him up, because truly didn't go well for him. But then two races in the points, it helps, and you're ahead of experienced drivers or drivers that you'd expect to be further up the order. So that's always a confidence boost. And then the other one, just out of curiosity, because we don't get too many Asian drivers, I don't think, coming into Formula 3 and Formula 2 these days, is Gerard Gilles down in 27 at the moment. He's not scored any points, but he comes from kind of a strong background up to now, and I'll be interested to see how he develops over the course of the season, and if he then does come back next year, depending on how that looks like. It's going to be a shame to come all that way for one season and then kind of return with me after it, if we want to find a less favourable term there. But I've noticed I've managed to go all that way with avoiding answering your question about who to go for the title, but as you would probably try and catch me back out on that one. Let's be left field. Let's, because Kamara feels like the easy option there. Let's go for Toponen. It'd be nice to get a Finnish driver back up there again. We need someone to come in and replace Bottas eventually, don't we? So let's get Toponen in there.
Love that Ferrari-backed driver as well. I think he's, as I said, I think he's destined for Formula 2, maybe even Formula 1 as well. So, yeah, great
It's
driver.
all about that damn timing, isn't it?
It is indeed, mate. It is indeed.
Do you have a winner then for your first two rounds of the season? I've chosen one for me deliberately because it's the obvious answer, but also because I suspect I know who you're going to choose. This could be the quickest section of the lot.
Okay, fair enough. So my win, I contemplated a few different drivers and a few teams. I think, as I said, Solov has done well, good start to the season. Tramnitz obviously deserves a shout out as well. And Camera is the easy answer, isn't it? I've actually gone Trident as the winner, as winners,
Oh, you
just
went for a
because
whole
I think.
team. Okay.
Yeah, I have gone with a team just because I think, Kamara has obviously been superb. But it's not just Kamara. Stromstedt, by the way, who we haven't mentioned in this podcast, and we probably should have because the second highest rookie and had a brilliant start to his Formula 3 career. Kamara, Stromstedt, and Wurz all having the pace to, or no, you know, on both weekends to compete. That's not easy going, and I think all three drivers have done well, but they've done well because the team are obviously working very well together. So as I said, I toyed with a few different drivers. I toyed with Roden as well, who have had a great start to the season and up in fourth in the championship, which is quite lofty heights for them considering it's Formula 3. But I am going to go with biggest winners as Trident. So have you gone different?
Well, there was me choosing Kamara just to make it easy for you, because I thought you were going to go for Freddie Slater.
Ah, okay.
So I
Interesting.
thought he's been so passionate about him, he'll forget everyone else is going, it's my boy Slater.
No. Slater obviously deserves a shout out, absolutely. Like he's done very well, but it is only one round, and I think you've got to judge it on the
I
season
didn't
so
think that would
far.
stop you, to be honest.
No? All right, fine. Well, if that's the
Just thought
case, then
he's
yeah, biggest winner, Freddie Slater.
there we go. No, but I can't argue with you on the Trident. Back to there, like you've had all three drivers, well, nearly all three drivers. I was looking at the wrong name there for a second, but again, Wurz hasn't been far away. And when he's had the one retirement, like you say, but the other two races in the points in that third race, just one place away. You know, it's that age old thing of just one more lap, and who knows, it could have been there for him. So, yeah, strongest team up there, and that is quite a nice cushion on points to have down to second place. So that if you do have a terrible time, but sometime soon. It might not be as doom and gloom as you might think, because again, you'd still need second place MP Motorsport, I think you said, to absolutely nail it. And it's Formula 3, it can't guarantee stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean the points difference between Trident and MP is outrageous, isn't it? As we said at the right the way at the start of the podcast, and it's 93 points versus 42 points. I mean Trident can have a weekend off and they'd still be top of the championship, so it's very
So
impressive.
something tells me the drivers won't be on board with that.
No, I don't think they'd be too happy with that, would they? If they turn up in Imola and the team haven't turned up, they turn up to the paddock and the trucks aren't there and the mechanics are all sat at home with their feet up. I don't think that would go down overly well, to be honest. So.
On the flip side of the coin, though, who's in your spinner for these first two rounds? You're going to go for a driver, you're going for a team.
Yeah, so again, it's something that I've been given some thought to, Timo, and there was I did consider, do I go with a driver? Do I go with a team? I think James Wharton. By the way, this is very much a spinner in relation to their potential. I'm not saying that they're a bad driver or they haven't done very
You always
well,
do this
but.
with an emphasis on tough love. I'm not being mean.
Yeah, exactly that. I rate all the drivers really, but that's a boring answer, isn't it? But no, I think James Wharton will
How's
be.
that fence? Is it nice and comfortable?
I think James Wharton will be disappointed with the start to the season that he's had. Obviously, no points so far, and a driver that I thought could be, a contender to be the best rookie. So I think he'll be disappointed. Van Hoopen, also another driver that I thought, was going to be a contender and win races this year, and he's had a bit of a disappointing start to the season. So both of those I considered, but my biggest spinner has to be, and you might have gone for the same, Timo. It has to be Prema. 2 points. 2 points from four races for the most successful team in Formula 3 history. That is not good enough, is it? 2 points.
They've got everyone working overtime on
Standard.
IndyCar and trying to figure out the problems they're having there.
Yeah, exactly that. They've forgotten about Formula 3 by the sounds of it. So,
It's the two and a
but no.
half men meme, isn't it? We've left something
Yeah.
somewhere. What is it? Oh, it can't be anything important.
Exactly that. But no, I mean even Dams are above them, and it's Dams' first season in Formula 3.
Yeah.
So I think by their own high standards, Prema will be extremely disappointed with the start of the season they've had. But there's still a long way to go yet. And I listen, if we get to the end of the year and we're doing a Formula 3 season review and Prema a 10th in the standings, then I think that's a totally different conversation and we'll be saying, poor, tough year for
If they're
Prema.
still this way halfway through, they need to
Yeah.
hire Freddie Slater.
Yeah, exactly that.
If he can't fix this for us, then we're definitely going back to the drawing board.
Yeah, exactly that. I don't think it's the drivers though, because the drivers are all good drivers, aren't they? So it must be something that's, I mean, Badoer and yeah, I listen, they're all good drivers, aren't they? Noel Leon and So they haven't got a bad driver in their rostrum. I think there's something going on there that they need to try and sort, isn't it? I do have to say Prema on this one, but I do think they will pick up as the year goes on. Maybe starting with a home race in Imola.
I'll say the slight silver lining, which feels like a backhanded compliment, if it can't get any worse. So
That
it's only up
is
from
very
here.
true. At
But
least they've scored 2 points.
well, true. We've had teams before where it's not looked like that's going to be possible. So at least they've got that off their back. And following a similar vein, I think, it's based off the potential, and we've heard this driver talked about so often. And yet have very rarely seen them, so it's kind of weird that now that we see them, it's not really materialized yet. So I've chosen Ugo Uwachukwu for my spin-up, just because we hear so much from Zak Brown, from Aaron, for years now, and you've got to purposely go looking for the races that he's been in, because he's still kind of that low down in the pecking order in terms of the road to Formula One. And then he gets into Formula 3, and he's this driver where he's been talked about in the same kind of breath as this generational talent that I feel like is starting to get overused a bit. And four races, 2 rounds, and his best finish is 1/10th place in a feature race. And you go, ooh, what's happened there? And I don't quite know the answer. Like you say, he's not billed as a bad driver. He's obviously not a bad driver because he's gotten to this point, as you point out. But something's not clicking there just yet, and I'm a little bit surprised. So I'll be, like you say, if Frame is still at the bottom end of the pecking order by the time we get to the end of the season, I'll be surprised. And the same with Ugo, but it's not how he wanted to start things, I'm sure, and not how the team wanted to start. And you just are all left scratching your head a bit, going, "You have meant why? Why? What's Zak Brown seen? Because I've yet to see it myself." And you just hope it's going to come alive, because, like you say, Formula 3 is this free for all, and maybe in another couple of rounds when we're doing a part two to this, we'll be going, "Oh, I might just have to go back and edit out bits of that previous podcast." But again, it's just not the start that I'm thinking anyone was hoping for. And again, if you're an outsider looking in and you don't know many of these drivers anyway, because you're more of a general fan, perhaps you go, "Ah, okay, I'll follow up because of Ugo." And you go, "Where is he? I've not seen anything of him."
No, exactly that. It's a good shout, because I think no one will be more disappointed than he will with the start of the season that he's had, in relation to his potential. And he won the final race of the year in Fracker, didn't he, in Monza? And I thought, okay, a guy that's stepping into Formula 3 with a bit of momentum, maybe he can carry this with a team that he knows well in Prema, and a kind of an environment that he feels comfortable in. But it just hasn't worked for him so far this season, has it? And I think, I'm sure I still got to say the break, but I mean, they had a bit of a break between Melbourne and Sakhir, didn't they? I think the break between Sakhir and Imola will be a good time for him to go away, to reflect on his first couple of rounds in Formula 3, and to come back is a bit of a reset, isn't it? And to come back and, for Hugo, his season starts in Imola, and he's got 8 rounds rather than 10 rounds. I think he, again, I said that, when we started talking about Prema, that I think all three Prema drivers will win a race at the bare minimum this season, if not races. Let's wait and see how
I
Hugo
won't. I won't
does.
start making humble pie just yet, because I'd like it to happen as well. But it's not looking good already.
I'll tell you what, Kathima, you can clip that and we'll revisit it at the end of the year, and
That never goes well for me, does it?
I'm completely open. If they don't win races, or if Hugo doesn't win a race, then I'm very happy for you to chuck that one back at me,
Sorry, I need to get something back at you for my Christian Mansell predictions, don't I?
mate.
So I'm desperately clawing for something. Is there anything else from these first 2 rounds of Formula 3 that you want to touch on briefly before we wrap?
Oh, don't think so. No, just the fact that it's been a brilliant season so far, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of the same. I mean, obviously Imola coming up, then Monaco, and I always love seeing Formula 3 cars around Monaco. It feels like, the cars are small enough to make good racing around Monaco, which is not something we necessarily see in Formula Two somewhat, and definitely Formula One. So looking forward to seeing Formula Three around Monaco because it's the only good bit of entertainment we'll get all weekend. And then we're into the real, middle part of the season, aren't we? Barcelona, Spielberg, Silverstone, those races come thick and fast. So no, I'm just looking forward to continuing the season and to see how the season evolves, and looking forward to see whether Trident can continue their form and can Rafael Câmara go undefeated in feature races this year. Can he do a whole season of just winning the feature race every single time? Very unlikely, I know. But you did say that. You said at the top, could he win? Could he have the records? Could he win more than five races or more than four races this season? That could be possible, couldn't it? So yeah.
So it's all up for grabs, and as I said earlier, it's Formula 3, so you can never say never. And all of what we've just said about Prema, about Trident, about Kamara, it could all be true by the end of the season, and we're going to go once again. What do we do with any of this? I don't quite know. We're going to have to try and figure it out over the course of what is hopefully not a 6-hour-long podcast.
Exactly that.
But that's all we've got time for on this edition of the Undercut Podcast. We'll be back soon with a recap and review of all the action from the 2025 F1 Academy season so far. We've also got an episode out on the Formula 2 season. Admittedly, we have been a little bit more unkind in places, but do go and give that a listen too. Or the ultimate opinion there. In the meantime, Mr. Ford, if the people listening would like some more from you, where might they find you?
Absolutely. You can find me at Inside F2. We're at Inside Formula 2 on Instagram, at Inside F2 on X, and wherever else you find us on social media. Host the podcast there with some brilliant guests, Aaron Harper. We have Martin Lloyd on this season. We've had Formula 3 and Formula 2 commentator Chris McCarthy on at various different points this season as well. So you can find us over Inside F2, where we're reviewing every round of the Formula 2 season so far. So go and check that out. If you really want to follow my boring content on Instagram, at underscore Fraser Ford one, but I'd say go and check out Inside F2 because there's actually some good content on there compared to my own personal social media channels, said Timo. So
I'm trying to think if I can try and spin that in some way, but you might just be right. Judge
yeah.
me a little bit me. As for myself, you can find me everywhere online via t.l.elbers.daily on the curbs. Really must find a shorter way of putting that at some point. And you can find all the podcasts, all the writing I do through there. It's all posted and promoted through that. In the meantime, thank you very much for listening, and we will be back soon with another episode.